The highlight is the chair's been making progress on the updated charter and charter in process, then also update to the work item process. We have a few items before that, but basically the goal of the meeting for the most part will be to review those changes so that we can continue forward with finishing all boring aspects of process changes, topics, but then also go about the process of selecting a new set of chairs. Let me go ahead and get started now. Let's review the agenda. We'll do the basic usual material, IP notes, call notes, introductions, reminders, reintroductions, announcements and reminders, progress on action items. I think Balazs from DIF will be joining us for a quick note around IP releases. We're gonna quickly go over the charter and process updates and then the updates to the work item process. Let's get started now. Okay, starting with the IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. To join the CCG, I have the alias here. Everyone, can you please mute yourself if you're not speaking, which I'm the only one allowed to be speaking now. So, So before you join, ensure you have a W3C account, and that's just a web account, very simple to set up. It's right here. And then to read the text of the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement, that is available at the link I'm pasting into IRC right now. Call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the following location that I'm pasting into IRC. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well to take minutes and let us know if you're having problems accessing IRC. All attendees should type present plus in IRC as you've seen other people doing the word present, this symbol plus immediately following it to get recorded, to get your name in the attendee list. In IRC, type Q plus, the letter Q, symbol plus, to add yourself to the queue. And you can add an optional reminder, Q plus, to mention something. And the word to is required if you're using it in that way. If you're not on IRC, that's fine. Simply ask to be put on the queue. We'll add you. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. And just a note that this meeting is held by voice, not IRC. So try to, if there's anything relevant to the discussion, please add yourself to the queue versus having primarily IRC discussions. Scribe selection. We need a volunteer to scribe. If we don't have a volunteer, we'll go through the list. Today should be pretty light. I think we're reviewing documents for the most part. So if you want to have an easy scribing day, I think this should be good. Okay, no volunteers. So let me go through the list.
I can scribe again.
Oh, thank you, Kalia.
Just let me get in there. I'm not quite there yet.
Thank you. I am going to give you credit for that by moving you to the end of the list. And actually, I think we had you coming up fairly soon. Rather than go through the reintroductions, I can scribe for you quickly. Could you introduce yourself, and I'll scribe for you while that happens.
Sure. So my name is Kui Ren. I am working on user-centric digital identity for students. I'm logging and have the online handle identity warehouse. And sorry, I'm trying to get in.
The main event that I've been leading for all that time is the Internet Identity Workshop. It's coming up at the end of April. We will be doing it virtually with the same format we have originally, which is open space technology. We're going to be centered in the always been, but we're doing two overnight sessions for people in other time zones. And
your audio has fallen out, at least for me.
The globe, and we're going to do hour and 15-minute long sessions with 15-minute break. I'm doing a lot of independent consulting with different folks trying to understand this emerging landscape of all this new stuff. So it's been really fun and interesting the last few months. And this last week, I've been working a lot with people trying to write up and proposals on how to address COVID-19 appropriately using our new technology.
Great. And let me, I'm catching up just a second. We had a hard time catching some of your audio at the beginning, so I didn't get
it. Oh, sorry.
I'm
sorry. I think I was not on speaker when I should have been. So anyways, the most important thing is IW is coming up, and we invite everybody to join us there in virtual time.
Great. Thank you. And I think when we get to announcements, reminders, we'll have the link handy for that as well. Okay. Thank you, Kalia. Reintroductions, continuing. Anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? I see a couple of new aliases or ones I don't recognize. So I'll call on some people to introduce themselves, starting with Carlos VM. Would you like to introduce yourself? And next, JCEB1, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay, so maybe let's move on to.
Hey, I can introduce myself.
Oh, yes. Who is this?
I'm Nat Holloway. I work at USA. I work with Samita, Thomas Schwartz, and Joel Harshorn. And so I'm new to the group, and this is my first meeting. So I'm interested to hear about what's going on.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so next topic is progress on action items. Kalia, I got that. That's Nat Holloway at USAA. I got him down. Okay, for action items, I think we use this, we use GitHub to keep track of the action items for the community. And the chairs pick a couple each week to go through. So at that link, the filter on action review next.
are the ones that will review. Wait, I think I skipped something. Okay, somehow announcements and reminders is gone. Okay, there. I apologize. I skipped announcements and reminders. Let me go back a second and we will do that. Okay, as per usual, many of the things are either postponed or something, but we do have a couple of events that are actually happening. As Kalia just mentioned, IIW is coming up, and that's going virtual. That's the 28th. Oh, Kalia, actually, I'm going to include the link to that. Would you mind just quickly talking to that? And because you were saying something about the like different time zones, I think.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I missed it.
So we are centering in Pacific time because that's where we've always been. But that means folks in Europe are up in their evening to come, and folks in Asia sort of have to wake up really early in the morning to come. So we're also hosting two overnight sessions for folks in those time zones to connect within the IIW context as well. And we're having hour and a half sessions with 15-minute breaks and no lunch breaks. And we're having two different demo hours, one more friendly to Asia and the other more friendly to Europe on the first and second days. I think the schedule will be published soon if people want to look at it before registering, but we've done our best to really support the same feeling of IIW virtually, along with addressing the fact we're in a global world with it being virtual.
Great. And for getting the schedule, will that just be posted on the IIW page?
I think so. We may tweet it out and stuff, but
okay,
yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So I included the Eventbrite link for people who need to register. So, yeah, everyone, you'll see announcements on Twitter, the page,
yeah.
Et cetera. Okay, great.
Thanks.
What else do we have? Okay, Identiverse is also going to virtual. And here's the link for that. I don't know if anyone has anything they want to say about that. That is the 8th of June through the 11th of June. Add yourself to the queue if there's something you wanted to add there. The other announcements are just about our recurring meetings. We're having regular verifiable credentials for education calls on Mondays. Oops, the time's wrong. So that is usually 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, and we meet generally weekly. The last couple of weeks have been a little hectic, but then they're also did resolution calls on Thursdays. So those have been ongoing for a while. Those are 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. And then Balaz added himself to the queue. Balaz, I imagine you're speaking about the IP issues that we discussed. So please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to bring it up here as well because there has been quite a lot of buzz in the last couple of days in relation to the COVID response from the community. And like some of us at DIF, maybe leading with me, I'm a little concerned that there might be work items being developed soon once a bit of clarification on targets and timelines comes up that might require IPR. And so far there has been no discussion. There has been, it's just there is no clear path of how that's going to be resolved, and delivering a work item that should have had IPR and it doesn't have can extremely discourage the global community of technologists to implement it, even if it was made with goodwill. And I just wanted to maybe bring this up in for the CCG that it could be a way to make potentially a task force in CCG and like very quickly boost the IPR for the Evernim and for Turdet effort that is led. I don't know, I think it's up for discussion. Diff is also happy to find a way. Or together we can do it. Diff is happy to also offer the infrastructure to host the call in one way or another.
Thank you, Bella. Does anyone have anything they want to add to that? Add yourself to the queue. Corey, Nate, you're up first.
Sorry, just managing the unmutes. So the words IPR, intellectual property rights, can mean a bunch of different things. Are you saying that work items need to be held under IPR agreements so that the participants can be secure in knowing that the work items being discussed are appropriately licensed for open usage? Or are you talking that they're, not that I want to hear about any specific piece of IPR or, you know, like an issued patent or patent application, et cetera, that is out there that must be licensed in order to accomplish some of the work items under discussion?
Bella, can you respond to that?
It's more the second one, so that we get released anyone's patent who contributes, therefore trolling in the future is avoided.
Ori, you're up next.
Plus one to what Bella said. You know, I think we all want to contribute and help design, you know, formats and schemas and documentation and pulling resources together. And I think there's especially an interest in having, you know, commentary from medical experts about, you know, what are these properties that we care about defining. And as soon as we invite outside, you know, members who aren't sort of familiar with the, you know, digital credentials or aren't active members of working groups or things like that, and then we let's say we build something really great together with consultation from medical experts, but we didn't think about what, you know, what the rights management was going to be on that, or we didn't protect it properly, and then it gets adopted and then it gets like nuked by a bunch of trolls, like that would be the worst possible thing I can imagine. So I just IPR sucks the joy out of absolutely everything that it touches. But in my opinion, like, we should just have a place where we can have these conversations where we're not afraid about, you know, patent trolls, basically. Like, we should just be secure that when we come together as a community, regardless of what company we're members of, and we contribute to an open, you know, specification or open properties, or we're doing definitions, we should have confidence that somebody isn't going to show up later and really make a mess out of what we've tried to do to help. I'm not sure what the best solution to that is, but, you know, being a member of DIF and the W3C, either of them would work to protect that, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't want to create extra work items. I don't want to, I'd like to find a really quick and easy way to protect the work that the community is doing and allow us to contribute, you know, openly without fear. And right now I have fear because I feel like it's an unsolved issue.
Thanks. Well said, Ori. Christopher, you're up next.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for raising these issues. I have similar concerns. I'm still monitoring a lot of the different projects, and, you know, since our call last week, the number of projects has probably quadrupled that are being proposed and such. And a lot of the companies that are involved, you know, have a history of patents and other things. I've become increasingly aware of some landmines in the location privacy area, for instance. So this is, I think, a legitimate concern. I do think the W3C should be in a good spot to to create, a venue that has the, IPR protections that will hopefully be required. That being said, there is a little bit of concern that the cat is out of the bag, and there may need to be some, anti-patent, variants of everything published just so that we can, prevent other people from patenting stuff that, in progress right now. So now whether or not that's within the W3C credentials community group as a task force or as some other community group within the W3C, it is, very easy to get at least our deliberations to be under some form of IPR, and I think it's I hope that the community can figure out some way to do so. Thank you.
Wayne, you're up next.
Thanks. And just chiming in from the DIF perspective, my perspective anyway, I think one of the most important things to me is that we get people who are actually on the field involved in a lot of these processes with COVID-19 and not just a bunch of technologists in the room, coming up with credentials that we think are reasonable. Even though, we have some really great minds in terms of security and privacy and data formats and protocols, but most critical is having the participation of people actually working on the problems directly and will actually need these kinds of tools. And it's very difficult, I think, for a large organization like the NHS or the CDC or HHS in the USA to, work with 10 different entities that are all saying that, hey, applying this technology, come to our forum, have the discussion here. But if we can at least consolidate that discussion and make it transparent and open enough, at least we're going to give those people an easier time on how to participate with the decentralized ecosystem community in a coordinated effort. And I think that to me, providing that great user experience to them is going to be, that's the most valuable information we need right now. So we can come together and figure out how to do that. That's the goal that I want to achieve.
Great. And I know, I'm trying to think for purposes of moving this forward. I've seen some conversations in DIFF happening around this, and as Christopher said, he has been thinking about that as well. I think two paths we could consider. One would be just continuing over an email discussion over what's the lightest weight path forward, and I think those options are pretty much we either do CCG task force or do something within DIFF and make sure that the people who want to contribute to it can participate in that DIFF discussion. And so either we can go, have that discussion over email list, or, if the main people involved in it, like Bella's, Wayne, and Christopher, if certain people involved in it wanted to have a sort of hash it out and come to a decision about what works best, I'm fine either way. So Ori also proposed that we use the VC examples repo for purposes of storing the schemas and then have conversations in a number of places. So I'll leave it to Balaz and Wayne to propose what they think is the best way of moving forward among those options. But it does sound like something that everyone wants, something very lightweight that we can get people involved. And we probably don't want to drag it out too much. It's just whatever works easiest and does the job. Balaz, does that sound good?
Yeah, I think we can come up with something. I will circulate a discussion with Christopher, Ray, Wayne, and I will leave my email address. And then anyone who wants to join in the discussion, please shoot me an email.
Thank you. And thanks to Balaz and Wayne for bringing this up. It's a very scary pitfall for sure. And we don't want to, we definitely don't want to get burned by IPR issues. Okay, so next let's move on to progress on action items. And this one's going to be pretty light because I think some main ones we're reviewing are actually the topics for today. So as mentioned earlier, we use GitHub issues to manage the list of issues that we're working on in diff. And let me repaste it, though, because it's been a while. And so we, the chairs flag a few issues each week to review. The first, or the two of them, number 41 and number 75, are the topics of today. So I'm just bringing those up because we're getting closer to closing them out. So this first one, number 41, is update the CCG process. And the next one is discussing registry's meta process. So I think some quick notes on the registry's meta process. For a while, we were hoping that the W3C, I don't remember what they're called, maybe the AC, some W3C
process group,
yes, process group, was working on a definition of a general registry process, and they were making a lot of progress, but then it seems like they decided that they didn't want to keep going with it. There was enough contention. And so why is this relevant to us? We were hoping to just refer to that instead of inventing our own. But, you know, we are doing registries like, you know, crypto suite registries, all kinds of registries, DID methods, et cetera. So we needed something. And in the beginning of this thread, I noted that Manu documented a very lightweight registry, meta registries process, just about what's the point of it, how you manage it and everything. So what I'm proposing for now is that we just use that as a starting point for our, you know, how we maintain registries. And it's just, it's very, very lightweight. And we'll review it or we'll get to it in part of the call later. But, you know, if we just have some working reference that we can agree to, and basically all we need is for the people who are leads of registries to say, yeah, that seems accurate. That seems like what I do. Otherwise, we'll change it, but we don't have to block on the W3C process group's definition. Anyone want to add anything about that general approach? Okay, so we'll get into more details of that later. And I think we should be close to closing out numbers 41 and number 75. The last action item that we have is a proposed code repository. And I'm pasting that in here. That is the LDS JWS 2020 code repository that Ori started. And it's a approach to using JSON LD signatures, but it uses standard Jose libraries. And this came up in the context of the verifiable credentials for education work group. So we wanted to use LD canonicalization. We also wanted to use standard Jose signing libraries, and we're having some concerns about how best to combine those. So Ori's repository looked like the best solution. What we're proposing is to bring this into CCG as a, it's actually the work item type. It's like a repository. There's ongoing items, so registries, code repos, and there's a few other examples of it, are things like that. So they're basically work items that are ongoing work items that, you know, they're not going to turn into a specification or anything like that, but we can work on it in the W3C. Let's see. Ori, is there anything you want to add? I noticed a couple of comments.
No, I mean, it's just the key representation, I think, is probably the most valuable part of it. You know, so it's a way of representing these JWK key formats that are used both by regular Jose libraries, like, you know, for VC JWT, and for linked data signature suites. So that's, I think that's its primary value. And there's some tentative support for it already in a number of other registries. And I'm happy to move the specification to the CCG if that's desirable.
Thank you. And I don't see anything else on the queue. So we have the proposed leads for it, starting out, it's me, Ori, and we have a couple of other people in the Verifiable Credentials for Education group that'll probably want to join on. So we have everything we need. So I think that we haven't gotten any, you know, major objections to it. I think it's safe to proceed with this as a work item. Great. Okay, so that's it for progress and action items. The next part, we're getting into the meat of the agenda. So we have two things. We have the charter and process update. And Kalia, we're going to be reviewing a document, so feel free to scribe lightly when that happens. You know, just sort of catch the conversation and everything. So here's a link to the proposed updated document. What we did here is we basically took the current content of the credentials, the W3C credentials community group site, and started creating the general goal was simplifying the charter and modernizing it. So there were a few things that did not really change that much. Like I think, and Joe and Christopher, correct me if I'm wrong, I relied heavily on suggesting mode, but then we accepted all the suggestions, so I may be losing track. But I think we didn't really make many changes to charter and scope of work.
That's right.
Okay. And then... so work items, one thing that we did, I think a lot of the problems that we were trying to address was that there were processes described here that were kind of either overly prescriptive or we thought that they needed some, you know, some more flexibility. So one thing that we did was separate out the CCG work item process. So that's a separate thing document that we'll look at. So notice in under the work item section, I think that first paragraph hasn't changed, but then we started working on the CCG work item process in a separate document. Everything else in that section is unchanged. The only changes to dependencies or liaisons is we added the new decentralized identifiers working group. So if anyone has any actually, you can make changes still in suggesting mode or add comments. So if there's any comments that you want to add as we go, feel free to add those in, and, you know, we can talk about them. Yeah, so, okay, the thing that we discussed heavily I think a couple of meetings ago was, wow, it's long. But we talked about it already, so don't have to talk about it again. And it's the choosing a chair, and we also talked about removing a chair and transparency, I hope. Joe, is that true?
We did talk about removing the chair and electing a chair, yeah.
Okay, cool. So violent overthrow, we decided, and no, just kidding. Yeah, so we reviewed that. And then we had some light changes to amendments to this charter. I think, Joe, can you talk to those real fast?
Yes. In fact, this language is fairly new. So although it is marked as proposed for today, this is young text. So if you have feedback, it's very welcome. So we updated the language specifically to follow the principle. Can you still hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were cutting out, but now it's better.
Yeah, it's my headset. Fortunately, it beeped at me, but I don't know why I did that. Anyway, we updated this to follow the if no principled objections, please proceed strategy. The first thing is that the chairs are those who propose amendments. If you're not a chair, you can't propose an amendment. So if people want to adjust that, you can propose other language. But my audio just dropped out again, didn't it?
No, it sounds good. It's clear.
Sounds good. It was clear the entire time.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know what these beeps are. Okay, so chairs may propose amendments. And we asked the chairs then ask for principled objections to those amendments. And if after 2 weeks there are none, then the amendments pass. So this is designed to be as lightweight as possible as long as nobody minds the changes. If there is an objection, then the chairs can either drop it or go to a public vote. A public vote has to be within 2 weeks. Well, it has to be called within 2 weeks, and then it lasts for 2 weeks. And by the mail-in list, people vote yay or nay, and two-thirds is what's required to pass. So the two-thirds is what it was before, but the process is different. It's more streamlined. This is my first draft language on that, and I'm happy to see edits or improvements.
Thank you, Joe. I don't see anyone on the queue, so I'm going to quickly jump to the process document, and then we can talk about – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to – the document had a long, laborious kind of consent thing, and then there was it was loosely connected to the amendments to the charter thing, and the whole thing was just kind of complex and messy. And the reality is that if the community just wants to move forward with a change to the amendment, it should be able to, and there's really no principled objection, it should be relatively easy to do. So this is actually the most streamlined of the part of the old document to the new document, is that this replaces like 6-8 paragraphs of things to something where the community can just basically say, the chairs are suggesting this change. We don't have a principled objection. Let's just make it happen. Rather than the much more painful and annoying thing that was going on before. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely, and also glad that we're coming to the end of. We've been talking about changing the process for I think over a year, and so it's almost done. So we won't talk to you guys about it anymore. cognitive space. Joe, you're up next.
We won't, but wait until the election. No. I wanted to point to the current charter. I dropped that in IRC. In particular, I'm just going to highlight the changes to this charter have to go under the old charter process. So that requires a 30-day vote on what is going to be proposed today. So at some point today, we will formally propose that we adopt the draft that's in Google Docs. And we'll have a 30-day voting period, which will need to be on the mailing list. And so the chairs will just keep track of votes there and let people know. So that's where we're at.
Great. So actually, if it's okay, I think I'll jump to the new work item process and highlight the changes there. And then Joe and Christopher, we can talk about the kind of next steps for approving this. Let's see. Okay, so new work item process, I included the link to it. We have discussed this, I'm pretty sure 6 months ago, if you remember, all of these diagrams to help clarify the process. So there were really I want to get this out there so that you realize this is what we're now proposing as the pretty much finished CCG work item process. We try not to expose you guys to it. Like, some of it is just kind of W3C accounting things, like what kind of work item it is, what kind of, like, will it go on to be a specification in a working group, and what are the stages? So we have these diagrams that are there to sort of help visualize that. But the key things that are relevant for W3C in, you know, kind of our internal bookkeeping would be the types of work items section. I have it highlighted if you can see that in the document. So, you know, we talk about different kinds of work items and the stages they go through. One thing I do want to call out, though, is that we do try to shield you from that. So how do we expect you to interact with this process? We have, and there's a section I have highlighted, work item process. And I have that highlighted in Google Docs. So basically, it's this, we have created a GitHub template, a new work item template, and it prompts you to fill out the relevant information. That includes, you know, a brief description of the work item, who are the editors that are expected to advance it. And then, you know, but then also if for whatever reason you don't like using GitHub, you know, reach out to the chairs. We can help you. We can help fill this out for you. And then the chair, it just goes from there. So it automatically gets assigned to the chairs. They review it and take it through the rest of the process. So nothing there changed. I just wanted to highlight that this is not a document you need to know and internalize. It's just there if you, for whatever reason, want to know all of this. But it's meant to sort of facilitate the movement of work items through the standardization process. So the only new addition to this document is in this ongoing community draft stages. So what is an ongoing community draft? That's a thing that that I was talking about, that a registry is an example of one, conformance test suites, schemas, and reference codes. So the LDS JWS 2020 repository is an example of reference code. So when we talked about having a registry's meta process, in fact, this is something is missing here. So I realize it's not quite correct because this is talking about creating respec documents. So that's already specific to a registry. So apologies, this needs to undergo more generalization. But basically, it's the idea of saying, you know, there will be some artifact that the proposer generates and proposes it just as any work item. So they basically use that GitHub template above to propose it. And then we recommend, you know, once it's accepted, it gets transitioned to a community draft. So hold this place. This text will be updated a bit. But basically, you know, we want to make it so that any kind of, registry, repo, whatever, all of those will fall under the instructions here, but we won't be restricting that it will be a respec document. That's only relevant for certain work items like registries.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the points that I would really like to make here is that, you know, these ongoing things never become final reports. You know, we do hope that they reach the point of maturity where we publish, you know, official drafts that, you know, show up on the master W3C page. But those will be periodic. But part of our problem is that the registry's requirements are not, we had hoped were going to be defined by the W3C, and they have not been. So, you know, there's sort of a weird sub-goal of this moving to this new charter process and this new work item process will make it easier for us to be able to respond to their changes. So they may basically come back and say, well, you need to add X. to your registries process. And if that happens, the chairs will have to propose an amendment to the work item process to address their concerns. And we don't want to go through this long process every single time. We can make that change, suggest it to the community group as a whole, and if there are no principled objections, those work item changes will be adopted by the community. So that's an example of, why we are trying to streamline the process, because, these are evolving. One of the nice things also is if some of these things end up being, it's taken us, 4 years to revise this charter. But in the future, if we accept this new charter, it won't take that long to fix little things that we need to fix because maybe it's not working. So that's it.
Thanks, Christopher. So what's the point of all of this? What are our goals with this? So there's several. One is that we do need to use the old, more tedious process to approve that we update the charter and accept the new work item process. And, once that happens, we will update the site and all the relevant documentation. So it's using this this new process, but we have to use the old one to start with. So what the chairs need to do is sort of officially propose that we adopt the charter, including the new work item process, and there will be some voting process for that. The goal for now was to make sure that you understood the changes that have been made, know where to find the documents if you want to deep dive into it some more, but we will be calling out a vote. The second goal is, as we mentioned, we do want to hold a chair election. We're overdue for that. So I am not recalling the ordering that we want to do it. Joe, Christopher, can you talk about next, or maybe either whichever of you wants to go first, can you talk about next steps? And,
well, we have to have the charter change to be able to do the election. So
that's right.
That's the key limitation.
Okay. So then do we want to I caught that one issue in the registry's work item that we need to fix, but in general, do we expect that we'll be ready to officially propose this coming up soon?
Yeah, I'd like this week, unless somebody in this group in the next couple of days who reads through this, in particular I'm hoping Manu and some of the other people who helped draft the old one look through it in details, unless there's a major objection. We'd like to, start the 30-day process under the old charter this week.
I'd like to do it today, actually.
Okay.
The process document is outside the charter, so changes to that don't have to go through the charter amendment process.
Okay.
So I think it's reasonable and appropriate for us to take as proposed.
That makes sense.
The Google document for the charter today, and then go ahead and we'll fold in the improvements to the registry process. But I think today we can put on the ballot and start that 30-day ticker, unless someone on this call thinks that that's the wrong way to do it.
I mean,
okay.
Manu, anybody else want, do you give a plus one to what we've done so far? Is Manu on today?
I see his alias, but he's less chatty than usual.
Yeah, with his snark today.
Okay, well,
I don't think Matt is on the call, actually.
Yeah, so somebody ping him saying we'd like, I mainly mentioned Manu because I think he drafted the last charter. I may be wrong. But let's move on this. I agree, let's have a quick call for plus ones, and if somebody does have an objection, let us know today, and we'll check with Manu, and then let's call. We'll you know, send an email to the list that the 30 days has started.
So just to get do it properly, I just typed something into IRC. So proposal, adopt new CCG starter that starts the 30-day countdown. I included a link to the new CCG charter. So Christopher, Joe, does that look reasonable? And at this point, we can ask people to plus one, minus one, whatever.
The only quagmire here is we need people to vote on the email list. I think we do. It's actually not in the charter where they vote, but it seems to me to be a challenge if we try to mix plus ones and emails. So.
Yeah. Okay. So hold your plus one, minus one. Well, so we've mentioned it here. We proposed it here. We will also send an email mentioning the same. And then what we'll ask is that you respond to the email with your plus ones or yay nays, or we'll tell you what to do. And we'll follow up on the rest. This will happen, then we will select new, we'll follow that with a new chair election. And so the other note is if you are interested in running for chair and you want to talk about to the current chairs, let us know. We can talk to you about what's involved, and we're excited to support anyone who's interested in taking on leadership roles. So, yeah. Any other comments? I think that's all that we needed to cover here.
I had a quick one, which was just in that Google Doc, we have named a version proposed, which is the version that is going to be proposed, that is, you know, going to be sent out by email. So we'll track that there. That is the version, right? So future edits don't matter in terms of this proposal at this stage.
Okay, got it. Okay, so I think I don't see anyone on the queue. Joe, do you have anything else?
I think I already said it.
Okay. So I think we can actually end early if no one has anything else. So thank you, everyone, and we will be following up over email to the next steps.
Thanks, folks.